Good morning. Great to be here to see you and hope you had a great week. We are in part two of talking about healing. How many of you were able to be here last week? And I just want to encourage you, if you weren't able to be here, to go to our Facebook page and Awake Church. You just have to look that up. You can follow it and watch that. We had some amazing testimonies last week, just really stirred faith for people getting healed. And so I want to go a little bit more and talk some more about this amazing thing called healing, which oftentimes has been shunned, ignored, demonized, like, no, only, God quit doing those things 2,000 years ago, and he just gave us his word, and we're just supposed to read that and have it in our heart, and then when we die, we get to go to heaven. And I know that that is taught, actually, quite a few places, but there's just so much more that Jesus purchased for us when he died on the cross, when he brought this kingdom for us. It is jam-packed. This kingdom of heaven, he gave it to us to walk in, to receive, to live in, to have for ourselves. And we want to talk some more about this. And Lord, we just ask right now that you would help. Holy Spirit, you are the revealer of truth. You are the one that illuminates, that shows us Jesus, that reveals all truth to us. And we just ask that you would speak to us. In addition to that, Lord, I ask that you would heal us today, that you would awaken our minds and hearts to believe the truth in every area of life. Lord, thank you that we get to know you. We get to know the truth. And your truth really does set us free. And I ask that you would do that, that you would set us free today, that you would help us, that you'd build us up. And thank you for speaking to us. Holy Spirit, amen. So in talking about healing, it really is a continuation in talking about the kingdom of heaven, which we spent 4 weeks on in talking about this remarkable, robust kingdom that has been given to us by Jesus, and healing being one part of that, healing not just physically, but emotionally, spiritually, in every single way. Do you believe that Jesus desires for you to be completely whole? Isn't that great to even just say that? Yes, I believe that he desires that for me, and that he's paid the price for that to happen, right? Yes, do you believe that? It's true. He's paid that for us to receive, and he wants us to enjoy it. He doesn't just have the power to heal, he wants to heal. We talked about that last week. He doesn't just have the ability to heal. He doesn't have the ability to do good things for us. He wants to do good things for us. He wants us to have all that he purchased, all that he obtained, all that he ripped away from the enemy and made available for us. He wants us to walk in these things and have these things. And the enemy does not want you to have those things. He wants to cast a cloud over the things that Jesus has provided to try and keep you from accessing them, to try and keep me from grabbing a hold of the truth and the reality of what Jesus has made available. Man, there's part of the victory of Jesus is us walking in that victory. It's us grabbing a hold of and grasping what he has made freely available to everyone who is humble enough and maybe foolish enough to believe by faith. Right? I mean, salvation sounds nuts. It sounds crazy that you will live forever with God in heaven. All of your sins forgiven, that doesn't sound possible. How is it possible? Because Jesus made it available, and you by faith grab a hold of that truth. And you receive it to yourself, and it is true. You will live with him forever. So the things that seem ridiculous or even foolish, the Bible talks about that, right? The foolish things, God has prepared for those who grab a hold by faith, who receive, who want, who desire, who go after. Last week we heard from a couple of different people, some amazing testimonies. I'm gonna even if you weren't here, I want to summarize a couple of those. One is from a friend of ours named Eric. Yes, Joy's husband, Eric, who's gone this week, but he shared his testimony, and in summary, it's basically this: he was diagnosed, I think at the age of 26, correct me if I'm wrong, with MS. Then he ended up getting into a wheelchair. When he was not in a wheelchair, he had a cane, deteriorating, lost his job. He couldn't work anymore in that role because of his sickness. And then an 80-year-old man looked to him and said, "What are you doing with that cane, young man?" He prayed for him, and he said to him something that caused him on the inside to go, "I don't have to live this way." So he started to lay a hold of the promises that we were just singing about, the promises in the Word, the promises that Jesus made, the healing that Jesus provided. He started to let his faith rise up and grab a hold of those words and started to proclaim over himself, over his own body, in the air, believing, started to change his mindset. And he said last week that I like how he did this, about 82% healed. 82% healed. He's not in a wheelchair anymore. He doesn't use a cane anymore. He could hardly walk previously, and now he's dancing. That is a progressive healing, week by week, month by month, year by year, and he's going for 100%. But he is laying hold of something with some sort of an aggressiveness of faith that Jesus provided for him, rather than just being passive that, "Oh, I've been given this diagnosis. Poor me, this is the way it's going to be." He said no, and he needed someone else to awaken him to that you don't have to live with that thing. You don't have to just live with this sickness. That's not what Jesus did for you. And so it started something inside of him, and I'm just telling you, it started something inside of me hearing him for myself. I got diagnosed with two different diseases last year. That's just lousy, isn't it? One of them has to do with my spine. One of them has to do with my throat. I have a really small esophagus. I've choked many times. I've had the Heimlich done. I still choke regularly. And there's no fix for it. I've had the tubes shoved down there and expanded and stretched. And then it goes back. And so as I was hearing Eric last week talk about this, I started to go, "No, wait a minute. I want to change my mindset." Right? Instead of just living with these conditions, what if I begin to speak to these conditions? And what if I begin to believe that Jesus has greater and better and start grabbing hold of what he has done and applying it to myself? Right? So that's what I've started to do just this week in those areas. I've believed for healing in other areas of my life, and I've been healed before of other things. But there's certain things for myself, maybe you're similar, that just went in the category of, "Well, that's the way it is. I'm just gonna have to live with it. And I don't want to do that anymore." I don't believe that we are supposed to do that. I don't believe that wasn't the desire of Jesus to think that way. And then we also heard from my friend Rick that came up from Charlotte area. He and his wife Lynn. I've known Rick for over 20 years. He was a contractor, fell off of a ladder 8 years ago, shattered his heel, broke his hip, has got 9 pins in his heel holding it together. It's extremely painful. He said whenever he was walking, if the ground wasn't perfectly level, he was in pain. Like that right there would really have bothered him. He said it almost caused him to hit the ground in pain. Had to sleep with his foot outside of the covers because the covers were too much pain. For 6 years, he lived that way. Lost his job. And he got desperate. His wife got desperate, and they started praying. They started to change their mindset. And he said he started to imagine himself running because he was used to be a runner. Said he started to imagine himself running. And then he went to get prayer from someone who prays for people to get healed and raised from the dead. And this man just laid his hand on him and said, "Jesus." That was all he said. He said, a few moments later, he felt something in that leg. And he said, I want to go test this out. So he went outside, changed his shoes, started to walk, and then he started to run. And he ran, and he's still running 2 years later. He's got no pain, zero pain. And every single day, he is crying when he thinks about what Jesus has done for him. The pins are still in there, the screws are still in there, but he's got no pain, and he's not limited any longer, and he's running. And he just keeps thinking about the great love of Jesus for him that healed him. He's closer to the Lord than he's ever been before. Jesus healed him. You can't see anything physical that would be a change, but it's changed. That is Jesus. Do you realize that Jesus, when he was on the planet, he really loved people? And I believe he healed people not to show that he was God, but because he loves people. That's why he came, right? For God so loved the world that he sent this Jesus to us. So he healed, he loved, he healed people wherever he went. Whatever diseased person, whatever incurable person came to him, they were healed. There's not one instance of someone with an incurable something that came to him that wasn't healed. And how about this one? It says in Hebrews that Jesus is the same when? Yesterday, today, forever. Does he still love people? Yes, sir. Does he still heal people? Yes, he does. He's the same. He's the same. He didn't stop doing something like miracles and speaking to us, setting us free. The devil would love for us to believe that, but it's not true. He still heals. It's still in his heart. He still has not only the power, but it's in his heart to heal, to set us free. God is amazing. He is amazing. You know, a mindset shift and just a mustard-sized seed of faith, those two things provide access to the kingdom of everything God has provided. A mindset shift from I'm just gonna live with something, this is just the way it is, to what if he's got this for me? And a little bit of faith. That's what Jesus said, if you just had a mustard seed-sized faith. That's all you need. Just a little faith will do a lot. Just a little bit of belief will do a lot. Often Jesus would walk around and see someone who was blind or sick or deaf or whatever, and he'd say, what would you like to do? What would you like me to do for you? He wanted them to say what they wanted, for one. And then sometimes he said, do you believe that I can? He was looking for some faith. Do you have enough faith to just believe that I can do this? Okay, then you get it. How many times when you read the scripture, when someone was healed, he would say, you got that because of your faith. You received that because of that mustard seed of that thing you had inside of you called faith. Might have been small, might have been large, doesn't matter. Isn't that amazing? God grades on a curve. We can have a little bit, or we can have a lot of it, and we get the same thing from him. Healing, salvation, wholeness, baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, that's how that comes, by faith. A little bit or a lot, Jesus gives what he has. He's looking for that childlike faith. It says that we don't receive anything from this kingdom unless we have childlike faith. That's just that simple, I believe. And man, we're in a world of unbelief. So it's hard sometimes to muster up that faith, to believe, because the world system is completely the opposite of faith. It's all intellect. And it's all, I've got to see every single thing. Jesus comes into the world saying, I'm looking for people who believe. The things you see, the world held together, the beautiful blue sky, creatures that fly in the air, everything that works, your body, you look at your fingerprint, he's saying that's enough for you to then have faith to believe that I'm here. Romans 2 talks about that. When we see that the kingdom that Jesus gave us includes our own healing, then that mindset shift can take place and we can begin to reach forward in faith for that which we don't have. We can do that. Oh, how much is there available that we are not living in? Man, is there a lot available that we are not living in, that I am not living in, that I want to live in? When you think of that passage, which I quote often, John 14:12, where Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he that believes in me," there it is again, "the works that I do shall he do also." The same kind of works that he did. And then he said, "And even greater works will you do, because I'm going to the Father." You know what happens when he went to the Father? He sent the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of us to do greater things than Jesus was even doing. Says that the Father gladly gives us the kingdom that is jam-packed with all of this. He gladly gives it to us for those who have faith, to believe. I am extremely thankful for medicine. I'm thankful for physicians. I've had several surgeries. Anybody in here ever had a surgery? Aren't you glad? Thankful for those doctors, those physicians, those that helped. I've had my knee fixed, my arm that was shattered, fixed, repaired. I've had throat stuff. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for the progress in medicine over time. I really believe it's God that has allowed us to learn these things and to grow and advance and to learn new ways of doing things and to help people live longer. I'm so grateful. You know, one of those guys that followed Paul around, called the beloved physician. His name was Luke. He was a doctor. And he wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts for us. Man, I'm so grateful for that physician as well. Nothing wrong with physicians. You pray for a good physician. When you're going to the doctor, you pray for a good one, right? But there is also the great physician. Right? Jesus, that's what he's referred to as the great physician. So when a good physician comes to the end of what they can do, that's where we need the great physician to do what he can do. Every part of what he can do, all the incurables, that's in his bailiwick. Right? That's in his arena where the great physician steps in and can do the impossible. He reminded us of that often, about doing the impossible. He said, "There's nothing too difficult for God." Do you remember these? I'll just read this. Let's read this together. Matthew 9, verse 27 says, "As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, and they were crying out, 'Have mercy on us, Son of David.'" Two blind guys with some desperation. They wanted a change in their circumstance. They wanted a change in their situation. Verse 28, when nothing happened. Jesus hadn't turned around yet at that point. Isn't that interesting? They're following him, crying out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." But Jesus doesn't respond yet. You know, sometimes we need to keep crying out. Sometimes we need to keep pursuing. Sometimes we need to follow him wherever he's going first. That's what happened here. Then it says, when he entered the house, the blind men, they didn't stop. They came up to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "It shall be done to you according to your faith." Blind guy seeing. The pursuit and not quitting, we talked about that last week as well, not giving up, not quitting, but continuing to pursue him. Okay, looks like he's ignoring me. I'm still following. He hasn't turned around yet. I'm going to go where he's going. He just went in that house. I'm going in there too. I'm going after him until I get what I need from him. There was persistence inside of these guys. And what was the result? Healed eyes. They could see. They didn't give in to a spirit of rejection, did they? They did not give in to a spirit of rejection. Man, oh man, there are a lot of people that feel very rejected by a lot of things. We got to shed that stuff. We cannot let rejection keep us from Jesus, from all that he has for us, from his goodness that he has. We don't want to misinterpret his silence at times. We don't want to misinterpret that. We got to keep pressing in. In Mark chapter 9, verse 22, says it, this is a man speaking to Jesus. He says, it has often thrown him, his son, both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. He was having some sort of seizure, demonic fit, whatever this was. It often throws him into the fire and into the water. What a tormentor. And then he said, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Verse 23. I've never seen or read, I wasn't there. I've never read Jesus responding like this to anyone quite in this way. He says, if you can. Here he is. God in flesh created the worlds, created every person. And this guy doesn't know all of that probably, but he says, if you can do anything, would you take pity on us? Jesus said, if you can. You know, he could say a lot of things right there. Let me take you on a quick flying trip through the universe and show you what I can do. He could have done that. But no, he says, all things, that's a great one to underline in your Bible, all things are possible to him who believes. Man, this is Jesus saying this. This is in red. This is the Son of God, the messenger of the kingdom, the messenger of heaven, the Son of God saying all things, if you believe, they can happen. Immediately, the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe. Help my unbelief. And his son was healed. Help my unbelief. That's not a bad prayer either. Help my unbelief. If we find ourselves in a place of not having enough belief, we can ask for help for that unbelief. I do that often. Lord, help me. Grow this faith inside of me. Grow a belief in you where it's lacking, where doubt has filled a spot. Replace that doubt with belief in you, trust in you. When hopelessness comes, man, does hopelessness come? It comes to each of us. That things are completely falling apart. The wheels are coming off. It's a disaster. It's horrible. It'll never get better. It's, you know, all these things. That is where we can say, no. My God holds the world together. He can hold me together. He can hold the situation together. What I'm feeling is not from heaven. What I'm feeling is from the enemy. And I rebuke those words. Get out of there. Get away from me. I am, Jesus said, all things are possible. So he can help me in this moment. He can help me in this time. He can help this situation. It's not beyond the scope, the possibility, the reach of Jesus' touch. Nothing is. And that, you know, there's a song about that, and there's a psalm about that. If even if I'm in the depths of the sea, I can't get away from him. I'm not out of his reach. Even if I were in the depths of the sea, you can't even get there. But if I were, it's not too far. One of the questions I often hear from people asking others, and I've been asked this many times, is why do you see so many people get healed in the miraculous overseas but not here? Why do you see so much more, and it does seem that way, than we see here? And there are a couple of things that come to mind. One of them is desperation. I think that's a part of it. Sometimes if medicine can't fix something here, then we just, like I've done, at times, right? Just live with it. I'm just going to live with it. Another thing is this faith, a desperation and this faith to rise up and to lay hold of it and to believe it. Sometimes this culture that we're in eats away at faith. It nibbles on it. It tries to reduce it less than a mustard seed. It tries to annihilate it. When faith there, just the size of a mustard seed, just the childlike kind, and some desperation at times, and some persistence, like we see here, of these blind men pursuing Jesus, and we see of that woman with the issue of blood crawling behind him, doesn't even have his attention. But she imagines in her mind, like Rick was imagining himself running, even though he couldn't for 6 years, she imagined in her mind, if I just touch his cloak, I will be healed. And then she took aggressive means to do that, to touch him. She got aggressive. She got aggressive with her faith. Her faith then turned into wheels of action. And I need that, and we need that. I think we would see a lot more with those type of things right there. Imagine if you were, and many of you are parents, but imagine if you were a parent and you purchased a vehicle, nice car, for your child that when they turned 16 and got their driver's license, you would hand the keys over to them. I wish I could do that for all my kids. But if you had done that and then your child turned 16 and they get their driver's license, they've got their license. But if they saw that car in the garage, knew it was for them, but was unsure that their parents' heart really wanted them to have it. So they didn't ask. They didn't go get those keys that were hanging in the kitchen. If they just lived with taking the bus and catching rides with friends, that sounds crazy because there's no teenager on the planet that would do that. But that is in some way similar to a child of God that Jesus says, you can have all of these things that I've purchased for you. If you want them, with some faith, you can access them. And then he says, I've given you not only that, I've given you the keys to the kingdom. You can bind, you can loose, you can set free, you can keep the enemy at bay. You can have these things, but it's going to take some faith. There are a lot of things that we aren't driving right now that we need to be driving. There are a lot of things we have license to use, license to have, that mindsets keep us from it. They keep us from it. They keep the things in the garage that could be on the streets. It's really true. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 says, as you go, this is Jesus speaking to his guys, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, say that. When you go out, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right here. It's close by. It's near. It's among us. And then he says this, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. It's so interesting. When, you know, I remember years ago when I read this and I realized that it doesn't say the kingdom of heaven is at hand and pray that I would heal the sick. It actually says here, heal the sick. In other words, I think Jesus is saying, I want you to have the mindset that this kingdom really is within you. And you're a carrier of something that you can give away. It's not saying you're God, it's saying that your God lives inside of you. And you can heal people. You know, sometimes Jesus would say, be cleansed, just like that, or be healed, or may it be done to you according to your faith. Just that simple, not a long prayer. just something simple because he recognized what he had. And he's saying to his followers that he sent out, not just his 12 apostles, but the 70 as well. And then according to John 14:12, everyone who believes. It's this: heal the sick, raise the dead. Mark 16, verse 15. This is a powerful passage. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. These are some of the instructions he gave at the very end here. He who has believed, that keeps popping up. That's why we're called believers, by the way, right? If you believe, you are now in the family of believers and you are called a believer. And when we believe, then it says here, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. You're already walking in condemnation until you believe. Verse 17, these signs will accompany those who have believed. I'm so glad he didn't say this. These signs will accompany those 12 apostles that I have chosen only. He didn't say that. He said, these signs will accompany those who have believed. Because again, believing is the access. Mindset shift, a little bit of faith, and all of a sudden, in my name, they will cast out demons. You know that every demon is subject to you? If you are a believer, you're in the family that Jesus has. You're in a kingdom that he provided, and he's given you authority over the darkness. If you read Luke 9 through 11, those three chapters, you read Matthew chapter 10, it says this. You've been given authority, every believer. You know, from the first day that you were born again, let's say maybe it's you today, maybe you're gonna get born again today. If you get born again today, 10 seconds later, you have authority over the enemy. Isn't that amazing? That's really true. 10 seconds later, not after Bible school, not after 10 years of prayer and reading the scripture. If you can say the name of Jesus, you have authority over the enemy. Isn't that incredible? I love that. I love that about you, Jesus. Thank you for doing that. We have authority over the enemy. Now, we don't have authority over people instantly. Now, people confuse that sometimes. That causes a big mess. That's another teaching, which we'll do in our new members class, if you'd like to go through the new members class here shortly. So, but you have authority over the enemy. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. We get that. They will pick up serpents. I'd like to not, but if you do, you'll be all right. If they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I've watched the people drinking deadly poison, not hurting them, and it was my fault one time. Boy, that was a bad scene. That's a long story. I should probably give a little more details. Before our feast and fellowship where we're providing, no. I was attending a church in Asia, and I was responsible for the drinks. But my vehicle, I had this Land Cruiser that had a hole in the radiator, and it leaked all the time. So I was always carrying water in the back to fill the radiator. And this was in a third world nation. Where I would get that water was at what they call petrol stations, which are big 50-gallon barrels, rusty, with the nastiest water you've ever seen, with stuff floating on the top. Oil and rust bits and all that. So I would dip my big thing in there, container, pull it out, and it kept it in the back of my truck. Well, on the day I was supposed to provide I had a filter, a water filter in my house. You filter all the water there if you're gonna drink it. So I have these big Berkey filters. I'd boil it and filter it before you drink it. And so I had done that and filled another big container and had that in the back of my truck. Well, I was in and I was leading the meeting, and I said to one of the people who were helping, oh, it's time for the Kool-Aid. It was Kool-Aid. If you could go in the back of my truck and get that container of water. They did that, made Kool-Aid for everybody in the church. It was the wrong container. So I was talking with someone after the service, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw the container with the bad water, and my heart fell right down into my toes. And I panicked a little bit. And my pastor was there, and I said, Pastor Q, can I speak with you? And I told him the situation, and he said, He said, we're not going to say anything right now. Here's what we're going to do. We grabbed about four other people, and we all prayed, because everybody already drank it. So we just started praying. Asked the Lord to cleanse all of that in every single person. You know, there was not one case of anything. No one was hurt. No one was harmed. My mistake, Jesus covered. My mistake, Jesus covered. I wouldn't suggest trying that out, but there are mistakes. You know, Paul was preaching a long time. I don't intend on preaching nearly as long as Paul preached right now. Paul was preaching a long time, and a young man fell out of the window asleep. Fell out of the window, a couple of stories, and died. Now, you could blame Paul's long-winded preaching. Yet, Paul went down there and prayed for him, and Jesus covered his mistake. Or the boy's mistake, or anybody's mistake. Isn't that something? That's also the heart of Jesus, to help us when we make mistakes. Oh, man, I'm so thankful for that. I have another, I won't go there. But I had another one where Mark 11, let's read this one. Mark 11, verse 22, have faith in God. This is in red, this is Jesus speaking. Have faith in God. Truly I say to you. When Jesus adds the truly on there, sometimes he does it twice, but we need to be paying attention when he says this. Truly I say to you, whoever, again, it's not just the 12, whoever says to this mountain, after he says have faith in God, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. There is power in the absence of doubt. When that doubt is replaced with faith, there is amazing power. And does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore, I say to you, all things. Oh, Jesus is constantly ripping the lid off of impossibilities. And special people groups. He rips the lid off of all those all the time. Anyone who believes, whoever believes, and all things for which you pray. Instead, he could have also said, here's the list to pray about. If you believe according to this list, this will happen. But if you add other things, that doesn't work. He doesn't do any of that either. He says, anybody, whoever, and all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them and they will be granted to you. Remarkable, this kingdom that you and I get to have. But again, this isn't easy. This faith, which just needing a little bit in the face of great difficulty can be hard to have, but it's all we need. Remember when that storm was tossing the boat around and Jesus was asleep? The only instance we have of Jesus being asleep in 33 years of his life on the planet is in the middle of a storm. And they say, don't you care if we're gonna die or not? Jesus' first words were, where'd your faith go? Did you allow circumstance to annihilate your faith? Did you allow a storm to decimate your faith? You know, have you ever had Jesus ask you that question? I have. I felt it. When things come against you, it feels like a desperation in a bad way, like a panic type. And I can hear the Lord's whisper, come on, Matt. Come on. I didn't bring you all this far. You haven't learned all these things. You haven't read all this. You haven't had all these experiences to doubt in this moment. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? It's like this constant. In fact, that question right there, where is your faith, wasn't just in the boat with the guys. Do you know what it says in Revelation? There's a question, another question, that when Jesus returns to the earth, will there be faith on the earth? That's a question that is hanging out there. Will there be faith on the earth? Are we still gonna believe regardless of the craziness that's going on in our world? We wanna grab a hold of this faith, believe his promises and what he said, pray and ask, believe and receive. And that goes for everything, particularly healing. When I was about 13, I don't remember the exact age, I'd had asthma for several years. And it limited me in sports. It hindered me when I was hunting, walking up mountains. It would just come at the craziest times, and I hated it. And sometimes it would scare me a lot. I remember one night, came in the middle of the night, and I felt like, whether it was real or not, I felt like I was dying. Could not breathe. I crawled out of bed, across the floor, into my parents' bedroom, on my hands and knees. Woke my parents up, could barely speak, and I was afraid, and I felt like I was dying. And my dad, I can remember this, swung his legs out from underneath the covers, and as he had done, and many others had for years previous, prayed for me another time. A father's heart for his son, seeing him suffer, laid his hands on my head, and he just started to rebuke this asthma and started to pray for me and release healing. And my lungs started to clear up. And do you know, from that moment to today, I've not had one asthma attack. Not one. From that moment, and I had been prayed for a lot. Why that time, I don't know. Was there faith as a mustard seed? I don't know. All what I do know is this. Where I did have asthma, now I don't. Thank you, Lord, for that. He's done many, many things. We're still praying for people. We're still praying for Joel Couch. Scott is sitting right there. We're going to continue to pray for Joel, right? If you think of him, keep praying. Release that sound and that proclamation of the kingdom to go into his brain, to shrink that tumor and to annihilate that thing, right? We've seen medicine and doctors help him a lot over these last 14 years or 12 or somewhere in there. But he still needs that 100% healing. I want to share a couple more testimonies with you. Debbie, will you come on up here? There she is. This is Debbie Reed. She and her husband, Steve, wonderful couple, been a part of us for a long time. And the Lord was, speaking of Joel, just tell that story here.
Yeah. All right, let's see. About 6 or 7 weeks ago, after worship and after Matt spoke, he had us all just raise our hands and pray for Joel Couch. And I had been on a immunotherapy drug for like a year. And I was supposed to take it every 2 weeks for a year. After the fourth doodah, okay, it's infusions. I went to bed that night, woke up in the middle of the night, and I had such severe pain. It was neuropathy, really badly. From here all the way up to my shoulder, and I mean, the pain was excruciating. Mm-hmm. My hands were numb, but yet the pain was just unbearable. And I got up and I walked and I paced and I prayed. And anyway, the doctors put me on 2 really strong drugs for the whole year. So, and I just prayed, hoping that they could kind of get rid of it. But I prayed, Steve and I prayed all through the year and had a lot of people praying for us. But about 6-7 weeks ago, on that Sunday morning, when Matt had everybody praying for Scott and, Joel, my hand started to shake. It just started doing this number, going, oh my, I was going, oh God, what is this? What is this? What is this? And I heard the Lord say healing, and I went, whoa, okay. So I ran over to Dawn, and I said, what is this? What are you getting? And she said, healing. So anyway, make a long story short, we ended up praying over, with my hand shaking, prayed over Scott for Joel. And then about, 4 days later, I realized, my God, my hand is healed. My entire arm, I've not felt one thing since that day.
Thank you, Lord.
Nothing.
Thank you, Lord. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. So you're praying for someone else.
I'm praying.
Not thinking about what you need.
We were praying for Joel, and I was healed.
There you go.
I mean, it was awesome.
Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Wonderful. I love that. Chuck, can you come on up? This is Chuck Harris, for those that don't know. He and his wife, Kelly, and their great family have been with us for a long time, too. And Chuck is a cardiologist, right?
Right.
And wanted him to share two or three stories of things that he's seen. He is not only a physician, but he's a praying physician. And so the Lord has used him to touch people. So go ahead. And
thank you. This has been amazing sermon because it's right down my alley. It's the stuff that I see and deal with every day. My heart is kind of bursting right now, but I want to tell just a couple of stories. I'll try to make them quick because I know short speakers are the most favorite speakers. So the first one was last week. A gentleman came to me who was sent by one of my partners. He had classic chest pain. He had what I call crescendo angina, which means when he just did the minimal exertion, he got chest tightness, which is 99% of the time, that's your heart. You got a blockage, and you might have more than one, but you definitely have one. And he just had the classic symptoms. In fact, my partner said, there's no point in doing a stress test because we already know you got a blockage. It just needs to be fixed. It needs to have a stent put in. And so I went in and met him for the first time right before we did the procedure. And just like I always do, I heard his story. He told me exactly what he told me. And I was like, yeah, you got a blockage. And I said, but let's just pray that the Lord will heal that blockage. And he can take care of it. And so I said, put your hand on your heart. And I learned that recently. I used to put my hand on his heart first. And then I said, put your hand on top of mine. But I learned that it's healing for some reason for someone to put their own hand on their heart and feel that. It's mainly for people who have a lot of anxiety. You know, they want to feel that heart. And it's just something about that. So I said, put your hand on your heart. I said, you feel it? He said, yeah. I said, okay. And I put my hand on his heart. And he had a friend with him. And I said, put your hand on his leg or put your hand on your heart too. Just put your hand on him. And I said, Lord Jesus, let's just bless this man's heart. Lord, I ask that you would heal it. Lord, if there is a blockage, we command it to be healed in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Be healed. And Lord, if you need me to fix that blockage, I pray you would steady my hands and steady my mind. But Lord, I ask for a supernatural healing because by your stripes, you're healed. That's what I always say to all my patients. And usually I just walk out of the room, and that's what I did. I kind of walked out, and I heard him say, what was that? And I just didn't pay any attention because I just do that for everybody, and I kind of went on my way, and I signed the consent and went back into the cath lab where I was going to. So they rolled him in, and we did the heart cath, completely normal arteries. And I was like, really? And I was like... And that is my unbelief, but I mean, I was just like, I was convinced he had a blockage. And so it's hard when you're a scientist and a believer because they kind of work against each other sometimes. And so I was like, so I got everybody in the cath lab who was with me. I was like, can you review those pictures? Did anybody see any blockage? No, it's completely normal. And so I was like, okay. So I did my paperwork and went back out to talk to him about explaining when you're going to go home and what to do. And I said, just great news. You have no blockages. And I was expecting him to say, well, then what's causing my chest pain? You know, because that's usually the trouble. They're like, well, if it's not my heart, what is it? And I'm supposed to figure that out. But this time he said, the Lord healed me. And I was like, yes, he did. That is true. And then he said, when you left the room, I felt this hot feeling go down my body. I was like,
thank you, Lord.
And that was confirmation to me because, you know, you hear that a lot. You know, when people get healed, they hear this burning feeling. But I've never prayed for someone and had that actually happen. So that's the first time I've actually had someone say I felt this warm feeling. But I knew that was the Lord. But the problem is, when you're a scientist, You know, there's always this doubt, and I think it's Satan. He wants me to doubt. And he's like, well, you know, you just made the wrong diagnosis. He never had a blockage, you know. And I think that's what my assistants in the cath lab were thinking. You know, so, well, you got it wrong this time. He never had a blockage. Yeah. But I knew, I knew that the Lord healed him. So another story real quick. This is even better. I was on call two weeks ago on a Friday night, 5:00. My partner said, I have a patient in the ER. She's about 70 years old. She's a volunteer at the hospital. I'm pretty sure she's having a heart attack. Her blood work says a heart attack. She's nauseated. She's sweaty. I don't see anything on the EKG, but I know she's having a heart attack. Can you take her to the cath lab? I said, sure. And so I had finished with all my work that day, and so we took her to the cath lab, and sure enough, I took pictures, and the right coronary artery, which is on the right side of your heart, which is usually in the shape of a C, was completely blocked, and all the other arteries were clear, and I was like, yep, definitely a heart attack. So usually what I do is I put a wire down, a little thin wire, and I run it through the blockage, and if you're having a heart attack, usually within 12 hours, that wire will go straight through the blockage because it's kind of soft. And there's a blood clot in there, and the wire just goes right through, but the wire wouldn't go through. I was like, that's kind of weird. But the wire did go down a little funny direction, and that's not uncommon, and it's in a branch. I knew it wasn't in the main artery, and so I put the balloon in there and ballooned up just real gently to kind of see if I could get the artery to open. Nothing happened. She's still having a little discomfort. Not bad, but still having discomfort. So I put the balloon down a little bit further, and I ballooned it again, and I was nervous because I knew I was not in the main artery, and if you blow up a balloon too big, it'll pop the artery, and it'll rupture. And I ballooned again, no blood flow. I was like, ugh. It's like, Lord, what's going on? And so then I ballooned a little bit more, and then when I took the next picture, I had ruptured the artery. And I was like, oh, Lord Jesus, you know, and I asked her, how you feeling, Miss? And it's funny, her last name was Harris also. And her name was Shirley. And I said, Shirley, how you doing? She's like, I'm okay. I'm hurting a little bit, but a little bit more than I was. And I was like, oh. Because this is usually an emergency. This is when if you start bleeding, if you rupture the artery, you start bleeding around the sac of the heart. And it starts to fill around the sac and it constricts the heart. And that's called cardiac tamponade. And that's a life-threatening, where if you don't fix it quick, you put a needle into the heart, and it's a big deal. And usually it can be fatal. And so I could just feel the sweat dripping down my back at that point. And I was like, oh. So I blew the balloon back up, and I said, let's just keep the balloon up, and maybe the bleeding will stop. And I called the echo tech who was on call. I said, I need her to come in from home and do an ultrasound because I needed to see how much bleeding there was. So it took her 25 minutes to get to the hospital, and so we were just sitting there, and my assistant, his name's Tim, and Tim goes, is a believer, he's a good, strong Christian man, and he was like, what do we do next? And I had no idea what to do. I had no idea. It was after hours, there was no one there to ask, and I was sweating it because I thought she was gonna die, and I kept looking at her blood pressure, normal. Heart rate, normal. It's like, that is interesting. You know, nothing bad was happening. And so, but that gave me time to think And so, I had no answers. And so I let the balloon down and I said, Tim, take another picture. More bleeding. I was like, all right, blow the balloon back up. And so we waited. And then finally the echo tech came in and she put the ultrasound on the heart. And she said, Dr. Hess, I don't see any blood around the heart. None. I was like, really? None? She's like, no blood. I was like, all right, Lord, you're going to have to help me. I don't know what to do. I have no idea what to do. I've thought of everything I can do. And so we let the balloon down, and Tim said, let's just take one more picture. He took a picture with a dye. The artery was completely open, no bleeding whatsoever. And if you think I'm holier than thou, he said something I probably shouldn't say up here, you know, but it was, right. What the?
All right.
He said, "What the F, what just happened?"
Right.
And he looked at me, and I looked at him, and I said, "Tim, we just saw a miracle just happen." I was like, "The Lord completely opened that artery, and there's no bleeding." He's like, "How can that happen?" And I said, "It's impossible. I mean, well,
yeah,
it's impossible except for what the Lord can do." Mm. And so I put another stent in. She was fine. She went home the next day, completely healed. It was a creative miracle. There was no other way to explain it other than the Lord said, "I'm going to save this lady tonight." And so,
yeah, thank you, Lord.
And that's really cool. But, you know, the sad thing is like another heart attack came in about 10 minutes later, and we just forgot about it like that. We moved on to the next case. And I've been thinking about that all week. It's like, how can we need to give glory to the Lord because he does amazing, amazing things. He saves, he heals, he does the miraculous. Yeah. And we don't have to do it a certain way. I didn't put my hands on her.
Yeah.
I didn't say, "Lord Jesus, heal this blockage." You know, I just like, "Lord, bail me out." It's like, "Bail me out." And he did.
Yeah.
And he did. And I just give him so much praise and glory for that because he rocks.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Chuck. Beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for the physicians that we have here, too. We have several in here. So grateful for them and to have that heart for the Lord, to pray and to watch God do amazing things. All right. Why don't we stand? Is that all right with everybody? If we could have our healing team folks come down as well. You know, Jesus can heal at any moment, at any time, and you don't have to feel something like standing up on the back of your neck. You know, I have this, I don't know, we'll find out in heaven, but I have this sense that on the day that Lazarus, Jesus raised him from the dead, my guess it was probably a little overcast, people feeling clearly sad, and Jesus just broke right of unbelief, of sadness, of all of that, and spoke resurrection power to a man who'd been dead for 4 days. In other words, it doesn't matter how we feel, the power of Jesus is present to heal. He healed Eric, he healed Rick, he healed Debbie, he healed these patients that Chuck was just talking about. He's healed me. He's healed many of you. How many of you have received a healing at some point in your life? Keep your hand up for a second. Look around at that. Someone's received a physical healing some point in your life. That's a lot. We want it to be every single person. It's our portion. Go ahead and say this with me if you wouldn't mind. Healing is my inheritance.
Healing is my inheritance.
It's true. Healing is yours to have. So how about we all, to the best of our ability, like I'm doing this week, change our mindset. Change our mindset to believe that this is mine, not just for someone else. This is for me, not just for someone else. This is for every believer. And all I need is a little bit of faith to access the keys to my daddy's car. All that he has for me. All that Jesus purchased and paid for on the cross is stored up for us. Not just eternally after we die, but here. Forgiveness as much as you need. Healing as much as we can access by faith. When he was, oftentimes Jesus would say, as I mentioned, "What would you like me to do for you?" He wanted people to say it out. What do you want? What do you want? Sometimes there's this speaking forth. In James, it says, "You have not because you ask not." So we need to get in that mode of, okay, new mindset. I'm going to ask. I want to be healed of this. How many of you want to be healed of something? Is there anybody in here who needs healed of something? Or maybe two things, or three things, or four or five, maybe. Maybe less medication to be on, right? And maybe there's incurable things in here, things that a physician doing their very best has said, "This is what you've got. I'm sorry, I can't this is all I've got, whether it's medication or this is what you've got. Maybe that's you in here today. But guess what? The great physician, he's got the solution. He's got the answer. He's got the help. He wants to heal. It's in his heart to do it. He demonstrated it's in his heart to heal us. He demonstrated that he wants us to have. He didn't go through all that so that we would not access it. He didn't purchase all that so that we could look at it from afar and go, oh, isn't that cool? Or look what you've done for someone else. We can rejoice in that, but we also can receive by faith what he has for us. If you'd like to be healed of something today, I invite you to come up front just to make your way as a step of faith. We're gonna have people pray for you, and they're going to, they may say one word, Jesus. They may say 10 words, but they're going to get their faith going and meet your faith and agree with heaven for what God wants for you. If you could just go ahead and get in front of these folks here, you can line up. And we're gonna do this as a family here today, if that's all right. And believe that Jesus is going to release something. I would encourage you to, after you get prayer, regardless of how you feel, try it out. If it's a shoulder, if it's a leg, whatever it is, our friend Rick, he felt a little something and he said, I'm gonna try this thing, this leg out. I'm gonna run. To the man who was crippled, Jesus said, I want you to rise up and walk. He couldn't walk, but he could at that moment. But he had to try, he had to step out. So I'm gonna encourage you after you receive prayer to try something you've never done before or couldn't do in a while. Or if something was painful before, maybe it's a back. If you couldn't bend before, try and bend. Let's receive by faith and step out and let's trust him. And you know what? If it doesn't happen in this moment, don't let go of it. Later today, grab hold. Say, this kingdom is mine, I receive this. Tomorrow, go after it again. The next day, go after it again. Let's not give up. Let's receive what Jesus has for us. So let's pray together here. And all everyone else, if you could stretch out your hands toward these up front. Jesus, here's what we know. You are good to the core. Every part of you is love for us. There's no lack of love in you for us. You love me. You love these. And you have paid for our healing. The scripture says, it was prophesied in Isaiah, Peter also said, by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. We were healed. It happened already. You purchased this healing for us. We know this. And so we, right now, as brothers and sisters in this family, we speak out and we pray and we proclaim healing to those standing up here. We say their bodies will be healed, their minds healed, their emotions healed, incurable things cured, the impossible made possible. Because of you, Jesus, not because of us, not because of a program, not because of saying things a certain way, but because of faith in the one who loves us, who is here to heal, to restore, to set free, to make new, to demonstrate his love, his power. Thank you, Lord. Let's just continue to pray for these as they're being prayed for. Exercise your faith. Pray in the Spirit. Ask God to do above and beyond what we can ask or think. And if you're getting prayer, just receive it. Receive and believe. Receive things from the kingdom all week long, to lay hold of those things that are yours by faith. We also have encouragement teams, prophetic teams out there if you'd like to receive some encouraging words. Also, don't forget your children. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Enjoy the Lord this week. And Lord, thank you for your faith that continues to grow. Thank you for these healings that you're doing, taking place. Continue to minister healing throughout the day and the week. In Jesus' name, amen.